This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
He's a terrorist on the run. He's worked for the U.S. government, and that's where he has surfaced in the United States, appealing for refuge. His public appeal poses a huge international embarrassment to George Bush, the man who has declared an unending global war on terrorism. To explain the terrorist career of Luis Posada and the political consequences of his appeal for refuge in the United States, I'm joined on the phone by Saul Landau. Saul Landau is an author, a filmmaker, and a professor in California, and he has spoken at length with one of Posada's former co-conspirators. Good morning, Saul. Welcome back again to Red Eye.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Why is it legitimate to call Luis Posada a terrorist?
Well, I guess you'd have to take just the simple biographical fact of his adult life. He was born in Cienfuegos, Cuba, in the late 1920s, and by the time the revolution came, he was already a middle-level official in dictator Fulgencio Batista's repressive forces. Indeed, he was accused of torturing and killing people. He quickly went to the United States, where he was recruited by the Central Intelligence Agency for their operation that turned into the Bay of Pigs. That was in April 1961. But what most people don't know about the Bay of Pigs is that it had an even darker side. That is, after the invasion was to succeed, a group that would be the equivalent of the Nazis' Waffen-SS was to go into Cuban cities and villages and wipe out all remaining Castroites. And Luis Posada was recruited to be a member of this Waffen-SS type operation. It was called the 40 operation. From there, since he didn't land on the Bay of Pigs and thus wasn't captured by Castro, Posada next surfaces as a trainee where the CIA sent him to learn about spying, explosives, and other weapons at Fort Benning, Georgia, where they have a special training school. In the mid-60s, he went to work both doing terrorism against Castro. There was a whole bunch of it in those days. It was an operation called Mongoose and another one called Autonomous Operations. And then he went to work in Venezuela for their secret police and intelligence service called DCIP. And he stayed there, again, mainly in anti-Castro operations until he went into business as a detective. He opened a detective agency. In June of 1976, the terrorists from all over the hemisphere had a meeting in the Dominican Republic in a place called Bonao. And this is all documented in now declassified documents that the FBI, the CIA, the drug agencies, and all of them got as a result of having placed informers at this meeting. And in this particular meeting, Luis Posada plots the bombing of an airliner. Now, previously, he had been involved in assassination plots. And this is one that's hardly known. Let me just tell you how it worked. And this is information that I got from a co-conspirator named Antonio Veciana. Veciana was the founder of yet another Cuban terrorist group called Alpha 66, which he founded with CIA blessings in 1963. And he carried out sabotage and assassination operations from his base in Miami with CIA logistical, financial, and weapons support. Now, together with Antonio Veciana, and this comes straight from an interview that I did with him. I did, in fact, two of them in 95 and 96, where he repeated this identical story. They got the CIA to manufacture an Aeroflex 16-millimeter camera, the kind that news crews were using throughout much of the world. And inside this camera, they put a pistol. that was designed to fire through the lens of the camera when it was activated. So they gave this camera, along with a regular Aeroflex 16mm camera, to a supposed news crew from Venezuela, where Posada was operating. The crew went down to Santiago, Chile, some 2 months before the arrival of Fidel Castro, so that they would blend in with the press corps. And on the morning, of course, of Castro's arrival and press conference, the assassins, run by Posada and Veciana, took their position, aimed the camera directly at Castro's forehead, and then the cameraman, instead of pressing the trigger, looked around the room and saw that at every entrance there were Castro bodyguards, so that there was no way out for him. And he chickened out. Posada then, in a rage, had the camera shipped back to Venezuela, where he hired a new crew of assassins, because Castro was supposed to make a stop in Caracas on his way home to Havana. Once again, the assassins thought better of the situation and didn't do it. This is the story that Veciana told me about Posada. But at that Bonao meeting, the plan that Posada did hatch was carried out, and that was a plan to bomb a Cuban commercial airliner in the air. And they hired a couple of agents in Venezuela, one named Hernan Ricardo and another named Freddy Lugo, to board the plane and get off at Barbados. However, when they got off, they left a couple of little pieces of luggage on the aircraft. And this was the days before there were all of this kind of security. So they had these little carry-on bags that they had stashed on the plane, and then they didn't reboard the craft. So when it took off, it had climbed, I don't know how many thousand feet, over Barbados, and both of the bombs went off. All 73 passengers and crew members died in the explosion. Later on, the blame was put directly onto Posada by the agents that he'd hired, and to another Cuban terrorist named Orlando Bosch, who also, by the way, is now in Florida, having been granted a special asylum by George Bush the First. Anyway, Posada's career continues. He is arrested in Venezuela, goes through trial after trial. He's acquitted, and there's an appeal. And while he's waiting for an appeal, one of the Cubans who has put big money into the Republican political campaigns, Jorge Mas Canosa, who was the head of the Cuban American National Foundation, I think he died several years ago, he put up $50,000 to bribe the Venezuelan prison authorities so that Posada could escape. After this heroic escape, as all the guards pretended they were sleeping, Posada was hired by none other than Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, who was running the supply or resupply effort for the Contras out of El Salvador. These were groups that were attacking the Nicaraguan government at the behest of the U.S. government, albeit it was a covert operation, and Posada went to work for them. After the Nicaraguans lost the election in 1990, magically, of course, the Contra war ended. Posada was then shot by an unknown gunman, but nevertheless continued his operations and began a campaign to discourage tourism in Cuba. And this was in the late 1990s. And to discourage Cuban tourism, he hired a couple of agents to place bombs at various locations where tourists hung out. And at one hotel, an Italian tourist was killed by one of Posada's bombs. In a New York Times interview in 1998, the bomb went off in 97. In 98, Posada told New York Times reporters Ann Bardak and Larry Roeder that, he's a casualty of war, but I'm not losing any sleep. That was the last we found out until 1999, when again Castro is scheduled to make a stop in Panama, where he's going to make a speech. And on a tip, Panamanian police find a rental car with 30 pounds of C4 plastic explosive and other explosives. And in this rental car, by the way, that's registered in the name of Posada and one of his accomplices, they found the explosive and fingerprints on the explosives. Posada is tried and convicted of endangering public safety, not conspiring to assassinate. And then shortly before she left office, Panamanian President Mireya Moscoso issued pardons to Posada and the other three conspirators, even though the appeals process was still active. Coincidentally, I should add that $4 million was deposited to her Swiss bank account. The American ambassador, by the way, was immediately notified, and the four were flown out of Panama on a waiting airplane. The plane stopped in Honduras. Posada got off, and the other three, all of whom, by the way, had long records of terrorism, came to Miami. They were welcomed at the airport. Nobody stopped them. And, of course, their visit, it was May 20th, 2004, coincided with the a campaign stop by George W. Bush on that very day. Well, to finish up the saga, Posada waited, well, another year before, almost another year before he decided to return to the United States, did so and asked for asylum, implying that if they didn't give it to him, he might spill the beans and tell of the various activities in which he cooperated in terrorism with U.S. agents and agencies. And that basically is his biography as he now is under arrest. Those people who watched his arrest on television will, of course, note that at no time was he handcuffed. And I've never seen an arrest made by American police without putting the handcuffs on, including when they arrested Kenneth Lay, the chief executive officer of Enron, and Andrew Fasto, the chief financial officer. So I thought it was very odd.
So here we have, as you've documented, a clear terrorist worked for the United States directly. We've got the government of the United States saying it's waging a war against terrorism. Clearly, the hypocrisy is evident to the world. They've got requests under legitimate extradition treaties from Venezuela for Posada to return there for the trial that he escaped by bribing the guards. The Cubans want him before an international tribunal. Can the United States find a way out of its embarrassing revelation of its support for terrorists and terrorism?
Well, it won't find an easy way out. I think that, after all, the United States has pushed for the prosecution of terrorists anywhere. And they've also, shown the world, thanks to the declassified documents, that there's abundant evidence against Posada. Indeed, in the New York Times, a former special agent of the FBI was quoted, this is on the front page, saying that, and I'm going to give you the direct quote, Posada was up to his eyeballs in the plot to bring down the airplane. Further, these documents show that the U.S. had information that there was a plot to bomb the Cuban commercial airliner, and that the United States government did not either stop the plot from happening or inform the Cuban government of the impending sabotage of its airliner. So this is more than embarrassing. It is going to sap whatever credibility George W. Bush has on this whole terrorist issue, because he's the man who said that if you harbor a terrorist, you're as guilty as the terrorist. Well, excuse me, grass will grow on my palm before he's charged with harboring a terrorist, but the evidence seems to me quite clear.
Thanks a lot for speaking with us this morning, Saul. I've been speaking with Saul Landau, and his latest book is The Business of America, How Consumers Have Replaced Citizens, and How We Can Reverse the Trend.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.